Chapter 12. When Audun broke the surface of the water, hauling Edric and Heywood, who were pale but very much alive, Millie was sure they'd all be able to start back to Greater Greensward soon. The humans were still dazed and disoriented, so she and Audun shouldered their burdens and turned to the distant palm trees barely visible on the horizon. While the two dragons carried the humans toward the island, their lashing tails propelling them through the waves, Millie thought about what to do next. They'd go to the island, and she'd give her parents a few minutes to rest before telling them about Felix. Then they'd all go home, find Felix, and everything would be back to normal. As they dragged themselves out of the water and onto the beach, she told Audun that they'd be leaving soon, and that he needn't bother changing into his human form. Unfortunately, the four former captives were exhausted, ill, hungry, and desperately thirsty, so Millie waited as the old witches swarmed around them, offering them food and drink. When Millie tried to talk to her mother, Rugine shooed her away, saying that her parents needed to rest. Half an hour later, the women were still fussing over them, making sure that they had enough to drink and eat and were comfortable, sitting on the witches' own feather mattresses dredged up from the nearly repaired ruins of their cottages. Millie could scarcely sit still. She could feel the all-too-precious time trickling away like the sand she scooped from the beach where she sat beside Audun. "Octavius feels terrible about what he did," said Audun, interrupting Millie's thoughts. "He told me so while we were waiting for you to come back. Why would he feel terrible? Without him, we never could have gone through the tunnel to get them out," Millie said. "He tried to talk us into waiting for Coral. If we had listened to him, all four of them might have died." Millie shrugged. Any other time she might have worried about Octavius's feelings, but right now something else caused her far more concern. "But we didn't wait, so it worked out all right," she said. "He doesn't need to feel bad. I, however, feel lousy, and I don't see you worrying about me. I know that what you said was true. My mother asked me to watch over Greater Greensward and Felix, and I couldn't possibly be in both places at once. But I can't help feeling that I was still responsible. I was supposed to keep an eye on him, and—" "Do all humans fret this much?" asked Audun. "Dragons are much more sensible creatures. We don't dwell on what we did or didn't do, or at least not in our saner moments." Millie's breath escaped with a gasp. "My brother was kidnapped by a lunatic, and here you are calling me crazy. I can't believe that you would say such a—" Audun shook his head, even as he interrupted her. "I never called you crazy, nor did I mean to imply that you—" "I'm not so sure about that," said Millie. "This is the second time you've told me how much better dragons are than humans. If that's really the way you feel, maybe we don't belong together. Maybe it's a good thing we haven't finished planning our wedding. Maybe we shouldn't have a wedding at all." Audun reached for her, his eyes stricken. "Millie, you can't mean that." "I'm not sure if I do or not," she said, pulling away. "If you'll excuse me, I'm going to try to talk to my parents again." Millie walked away with her back stiff and her head held high. She was still upset as she worked her way through the group of witches to Emma, who must have seen the expression on her face because she stepped forward when Cadmilla tried to intercept the young dragoness. "Thank you for your hospitality," said Emma, "but I need to talk to my daughter." Millie had thought long and hard about how she would tell her parents that their baby had been kidnapped. She'd wanted to break the news to them gently, but now, when she actually had to tell them, all she could do was blurt out, "I know you're tired and have gone through a terrible ordeal, but we have to go. I came looking for you because Olibald Wizard kidnapped Felix and took him to Soggy Malvinia." Emma gasped, and her hand flew to her mouth. She swayed until Edric came up behind her and put his arm around her waist. "What's this about Felix?" he asked. "Olibald Wizard kidnapped him," Millie said again. "He took him to Soggy Malvinia and turned him into a frog. The fairy Raindrop helped us follow him there, but he'd already released Felix into the marsh, where he's with a billion other frogs. Francis, Oculura, Dyspepsia, and Azuria are all looking for Felix, but Audun and I came to get you because I was sure that you would know what to do." Edric nodded and pulled Emma closer. "You did the right thing. We'll go there straight away. Your mother can find anything, can't you, Emma?"
"Yes, but my baby. How could anyone do such a horrible thing? And of all the times for this to happen, why did Olibald have to do it now?"
"I think he was in league with Nastia Nautica," said Audun, who had come up behind Millie. He set his talons on Millie's shoulder and gave it a gentle squeeze. They must have planned it together. She lured you away and trapped you in her cave while he kidnapped Felix. Who knows what else he has in mind? That's right, Millie told them as she twitched her shoulder out from under Audun's touch and took a step away from him. When Olabald brought the rock to Greater Greensward and tried to tear down the castle last year, he had green stones with him, like the ones in Nastia Nautica's cave. If he got the stones from her, he must have known her for some time. We have to get to Soggy Mulvinia as soon as possible, said Edric. I have a spell that could carry us there in an instant, but it won't work on all six of us, Emma said. You two go and take Grisina and Haywood, said Millie. Audun and I will fly back. It won't take as long as dragons. We'll do that, said Emma, but hurry. Olabald has obviously been planning this for a while. It sounds as if he's already wielded more powerful magic than I've ever seen him use before. I don't know if I'll be able to undo his spell. If that's the case, we're all going to be searching the marsh for Felix. Millie and Audun left the island just as her mother raised her hand and waved it in the air. In the next instant, the magic carpets and their riders vanished. The dragons turned and headed towards Soggy Mulvinia, flying without talking for the first few miles. I didn't mean that you were crazy, said Audun, finally breaking the silence. I just wish you'd stop worrying so much. Worrying never helped anyone. But my baby brother has been turned into a frog. I know, and we're going to take care of it. You've already done so much. You discovered that Olabald took Felix and that he put him in the marsh. You've also found your parents, and now they're on their way back to the marsh. No one blames you for any of this. My mother might, when she really thinks about it, said Millie. Audun quirked one eye ridge at her. Do you really think so? From what I know of your mother, she's a very practical person. I think she'd be the last one to blame you for what happened to Felix. Now, I've never met her, but I'd bet that your grandmother Frazella would be happy to blame you, especially when you're a dragon. Millie laughed. Yes, and your grandmother's Song of the Glacier would probably blame me when I'm a human. I don't know what we're going to do if they both show up for the wedding. You mean there is going to be a wedding even after I stuck my talons in my mouth? Audun said. Yes, there will be a wedding, Millie said, smiling. Everybody says things they don't mean when they're upset. Audun looked relieved. I know, and you were upset even before... I wasn't talking about me, said Millie. You're the one who said what he shouldn't have. Just don't do it again, she added with a warning look. When Audun closed his mouth with a snap, Millie couldn't help but smile. They made good time flying over the ocean, but as they approached the shore, they saw dark, ominous-looking clouds looming over the land. We could go around, Audun said, as lightning split the sky only a few miles in front of them. Millie shook her head. The clouds stretched as far as she could see in both directions. It looks like an awfully big storm. Going around would take too long. We can try to go above the storm, although those clouds look enormous. Then we'll just have to go higher, said Millie. Flying wingtip to wingtip, she and Audun spiraled upward, trying to gain altitude without entering the clouds. As the storm drew nearer, the air became rougher, buffeting them back and forth until Millie felt sick to her stomach. Just a little higher, said Audun, yet the clouds appeared to go on forever. Millie looked around as lightning crashed so close that the air seemed to sizzle. The clouds surrounded them on all sides. When she looked up again, what had been clear sky above them was dark and ominous. I don't like this, Millie said, watching the clouds above them grow thicker. I don't either, said Audun. Let's get out of here. How fast can you fly? At least as fast as you, Millie told him. They raced first the lightning, then the torrential rain, and then, after they passed through the storm and out the other side, they raced each other. Neither one was faster, and they didn't stop until they had passed the border into Soggy Mulvinia, and the marsh lay just ahead. We're almost there, Millie said, glancing down at the first of the ponds that riddled the marshy land. Puddles, ponds, lakes of all sizes, and the thin ribbon of land that wound between them made patterns of light and dark in the pale haze of morning. If it hadn't been for their dragon senses, they might have become lost in minutes, but they flew on, landing on the same hillock where they'd spoken with Olabald Wizard. When they'd left, three witches had been searching for Felix. Oculura, Dyspepsia, and Azuria were still there, along with Emma, Edric, Grisina, Haywood, and another witch named Madine. Oculura and Dyspepsia were stomping around the edge of puddles and ponds, poking through the mud as they looked for frogs, while everyone else was gathered around Emma and Edric. The two dragons changed back into their human form before approaching the group, and Millie was about to call to her mother when the air sparkled in front of them and the swamp fairy appeared. "I found some ore," she said, jerking her thumb at two bewildered men who had appeared behind her. They were well-dressed, although their clothes were out of date and didn't seem to fit very well. One crouched down into a squatting position, and the other shivered and looked around, apparently too stunned to move. "Let me question them before they join the others," said Edric, breaking free from the group surrounding Emma. He noticed Millie and Audun then, and his lips shaped themselves into a weary smile. "There you are. We were beginning to worry about you. Before you ask, no luck so far. Talk to your mother, Millie, so she can fill you in." Millie nodded.
"I will, but first tell me, where's Francis? He said he was going to come here to help search for Felix."
"He was here," said Azuria, "but a fairy came to get him. She said he was needed at home. They went back to Greater Greensward together, and we haven't seen him since."
"That's odd," Millie muttered as she went to join her mother.
Emma looked even more tired than Edric, with dark circles under her eyes and her brow etched with worry lines. She glanced up as the witches made room for Millie and Audun to pass.
"I'm glad you're here," she said, running her fingers through her hair, making it messier than before. "I've tried everything I can think of, including the spell that I used to find Haywood when he was an otter. But none of my locator spells have done what they should, and my summoning spells have been worthless. There were some other princes here, as you can see."
She waved her hand at a group of men huddled together on another hillock. They looked as bewildered and just as out of place as the two the swamp fairy had found.
"Unfortunately, Felix wasn't among them. Your father has been questioning the princes, but none of them know anything about my baby boy. There's only one thing left to try," said Emma. "I'll have to go look for him as a frog."
"Not without me, you're not," said Edric from behind the witches. He worked his way through the group and took Emma's hand. "I've spent more time as a frog than you have. I know how to get other frogs to talk to me."
"And I'm going too," Millie told them both. "He's my baby brother, and I was in charge while you were gone."
"Actually," said Edric, "you and Francis were in charge of magical problems. It was your grandparents who..."
"Yes, you can go," Emma said, "but stay near us. I don't want to lose both my children in this marsh."
"I can go too," said Haywood. "Just turn me back into an otter, and I can find any frog."
"If you were an otter, you'd scare away every frog for miles around, and we'd never find my baby," said Emma. "Thank you for the offer, but I'd rather you stayed here and helped Grisina coordinate the witch's search. You could keep all the predators out of the marsh, too. The last thing we need is for a real otter to eat one of us while we're looking for Felix."
"Are you sure?" asked Haywood. "I could keep the other predators away better if I were an otter. Turn me back and I'll stay away from the frogs. I'd turn myself back, but I never did perfect the spell."
"I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'll turn you into an otter, Haywood," said Grisina. "Just be careful and stay out of the way."
Millie had never been a frog before. She was a human most of the time, and she loved being a dragon, but it had never occurred to her to try anything else. Turning into a dragon had never made her nervous or anxious. Now, however, the thought of turning into a frog made her stomach churn, and she began to wonder if she was doing the right thing.
"Where should we look first?" Edric asked Emma. "I'm not sure," she replied. "That big pond over there looks promising, or we could try this one."
"We should try the one on the other side of that little hill where Audun and I met Olibald," said Millie. "I have a feeling about that pond."
Audun glanced at her, then turned to her parents and said,
"You should trust her feelings. She's developing good dragoness intuition that has proven to be right more often than not."
"But she's not a dragoness now," said Edric.
"Millie is a mixture of dragon and human," Audun said. "It seems the line between what she can do when she's one or the other is getting a little blurred."
"That pond is as good as the next," said Emma. "I think we should go with Millie's choice. Audun, I'd appreciate it if you could help Haywood keep the predators away."
Audun smiled, but he didn't look happy. As the biggest predator around here, I'd say I'm very qualified for the job, but I can probably do it better from the air. After trudging across the narrow strip of land connecting one hillock to another, Millie and her parents took up positions facing one another.
"We should hold hands so the spell includes the three of us," said Emma.
"Now, be friendly when you meet other frogs so they'll talk to you. We're more likely to find Felix quickly if the frogs who live here are helping us." Millie was already reaching for her parents' hands when the air shimmered around Audun and he changed into a dragon. She turned back to face her parents when her mother began the spell.
"Green of skin and long of tongue, with strong bespeckled feet, turn us into three fine frogs that others want to meet."
Perhaps turning back and forth between human and dragon so often had made it easy for Millie, but for whatever reason, there was no pain or discomfort, and it happened so fast that she didn't think it had happened at all until she glanced down and saw that she was green and smooth and much smaller than either of her other usual forms. She blinked in surprise as her mother patted her hand with long green fingers.
"Follow us while you practice swimming," Emma told Millie. "I don't want to have to look for you, too."
Then, taking one hop backward and twisting her body halfway around, Emma jumped into the water with a tiny splash. Millie shook her head in disbelief. Her mother knew that she could swim perfectly well as a human and even better as a dragon. Millie had been doing it for years, and she fell flat on her face, her long, thin feet tangled together. "Ow!" she exclaimed, rubbing the spot where she normally had a nose. Millie tried again, tugging until she'd freed her feet, then moved them carefully, one slow step at a time.
"It's not as easy as it looks, is it?" said her father. "Don't worry, you'll get it soon enough. Your mother didn't catch on right away, and neither did I, for that matter."
He turned to look out over the water and frowned.
"Where did she go?
I'd better go find her. We'll meet you in the middle of the pond." Her father's splash was even smaller than her mother's. Millie thought about hopping the way her parents had, but she couldn't manage more than a stumbling lurch. She ended up walking flat-footed to the water, then inching her way in until she was waist-deep. Stretching her arms in front of her, she belly-flopped into the water and kicked her feet. Her long legs felt awkward and uncomfortable, and she didn't go far. Someone nearby began to laugh, a deep-throated sound that managed to seem good-natured, even though Millie was sure the person was laughing at her.
"I've never seen anyone do it that way," said a big bullfrog, popping up beside her. "It helps if you bend your legs."
"No," he said when Millie tried.
"Not like that. Like this."
Millie watched as the frog bent his legs to the side and straightened them with a thrusting motion. He sped past, waving at her with one hand.
"I can do that," Millie murmured, bringing her feet closer to her body.
She kicked the way she'd seen the bullfrog do, and was delighted when she actually moved forward.
"You're funny," said a little frog as it swam circles around her.
"She's new,"
another slightly larger frog said.
"What pond did you come from?"
asked the little frog.
"Are you going to live here now?"
"Actually, I'm just visiting," Millie began. "I'm looking for my brother. Have any of you met a frog named Felix? He's been here just a few days."
A crowd of frogs had gathered around her, bobbing in the water so that all she could see were their heads, which looked very odd when they all shook them, saying,
"Nope. Two other frogs just got here, but nobody came before them," said the bullfrog. "Maybe your brother is in another pond."
"Maybe," said Millie, "but I have a feeling he's here somewhere."
One of the frogs giggled and splashed Millie.
"Did you hear that? She has a feeling."
"I have a lot of feelings," said another, "but that doesn't mean anything is going to happen."
"I just meant that something is telling me he's here. I'd appreciate it if you could all keep your eyes open for a little frog named Felix."
"She wants us to keep our eyes open, as if we don't already. Who says things like that?"
"She's with those humans clomping around in the shallows," said a female frog as she joined the group. "They took my boyfriend. We were sitting down to a nice mosquito snack when, zap, he turned into a great galumphing human. He always said he was a prince, but I thought he was crazy, like Pato. That fool claims he's really a snapping turtle, although I can almost believe him."
A froggy face rose above the back of the crowd and grinned evilly at Millie. He opened his mouth and snapped it shut with a loud clack. Even Millie could see how much he resembled a snapping turtle.
"I'm sorry they took your friend, but if he was a prince, he really didn't belong here," Millie told the female frog. "We'll all leave as soon as we find my brother. He's just a baby, you see, and can't take care of himself yet."
"A baby, you say? You should have mentioned that right away," said the bullfrog. "Baby frogs aren't frogs. Well, they are, but that's not what we call them. We call them little squirts, although I've heard them called pollywogs and tadpoles."
"I like pollywogs the best," said the little frog. "It feels funny in my mouth when I say it."
Millie was so stunned that she let her legs drop straight down and she began to sink. She came back up spluttering and wiping the water from her eyes.
"I never thought of that," she said, "but it makes a lot of sense. I have to tell my parents. Thank you so much."
She started to swim away, then stopped abruptly and came back.
"Where exactly would I find these pollywogs?"
"They swim in big groups in the shallows," said the little frog.
"Thanks again," Millie shouted as she started toward the middle of the pond.
"I said they're in the shallows," the little frog shouted after her. "You're going the wrong way."
"I have to tell my parents first," Millie called over her shoulder.
"Suit yourself. Just watch out for Old Gray. He hangs out in the middle of the pond until the sun gets high."
Swimming as a frog still wasn't easy for Millie, but she tried the bend and kick style and found she actually made some progress with it. Every now and then, she raised her head to look around and make sure that she was still headed where she wanted to go. Finally, she chanced to look down as well and saw a shadow following her. Unfortunately, it wasn't her own shadow.
"What is that?"
she wondered out loud and stuck her face in the water for a better look. The shadow moved closer until she was able to see that it was a fish, not a shadow at all. It was hard to judge how far away the fish was or how big it might be, but Millie remembered the little frog's warning about Old Gray and decided that she really didn't want to learn any more about him. She tried to swim faster, pulling her legs closer and kicking harder, and began to move at a better pace. Even so, when she glanced back down, she saw that the fish was drawing nearer and looked more threatening than before. Millie tried to swim faster still, but she had already been doing the best she could, and he continued to come closer. Her heart pounded and her limbs felt like they were on fire when she realized that the fish was rising to the surface and was only inches behind her. "Help!" she screamed. There was a whoosh, and something enormous tore out of the sky. Millie shrieked and shot ahead as Audun plucked the fish from the water.
"Thank you,"
she shouted once she realized that it was him and that he held the flopping fish in his talons.
"No problem," said Audun. "I was hungry anyway."
"Millie, are you all right?"
her mother shouted, and she saw both of her parents swimming toward her, their eyes big with concern.
"I'm better than all right," she told them, "because I know where we might be able to find Felix."
Her eyes shone as she told them about her conversation with the frogs, and by the time she had finished, they were already swimming to the shallows. They swam through the cattails, edging the shallower water, calling, "Felix!" But for the longest time, they didn't see anything that even resembled a tadpole.
"Maybe I was wrong, and he is in a different pond," Millie finally said.
"We're not giving up yet," her father told her with an encouraging smile. Millie ducked when a blackbird darted overhead, and she bumped into something small and soft. A tadpole looked up at her with curious eyes before scooting off through a stand of water iris. Millie followed, pushing aside the iris as she forced her way through and swam into the midst of the largest group of tadpoles she'd ever seen. Startled, the tadpoles darted away, moving together like one much larger entity.
"I found them!" Millie shouted, and her parents hurried over to meet her.
"Felix!" called Emma as she drew alongside the tadpoles.
"Are you there, Felix?" his father called. Millie glanced from one tadpole to another and shook her head.
"It's impossible to tell them apart."
"It is, isn't it? And none of them answers to Felix," said Emma.
"Maybe we should try something else," Millie said. "He's ticklish when he's human. Do you think he might be ticklish as a tadpole, too?"
Emma smiled.
"What a good idea. When I was a frog, Grisina tickled me and knew who I was by my laugh. I doubt any real tadpole would laugh like Felix. You start at that end of the group, and I'll start at this end. Edric, can you work your way out from the cattails?"
"How will we know which ones we've checked already?"
asked Millie.
I know some have little legs and some are bigger than others, but I don't think I can keep them all straight.
Dab some mud on each one after you tickle it, said Edric, unless you can think of a better way to mark them.
Mud sounds good to me, said Millie, bending down to get a big glob.
Although Millie thought that tickling tadpoles might be fun, she changed her mind after the first few. Some tadpoles squirmed to get away, but most of them just gave the frogs bored looks and swam off. An hour had gone by, and her froggy fingers were sore when a dark shape shot out of the deeper water, scattering the tadpoles in every direction. "Hello," said Haywood, his otter mouth grinning. "I came to see how you were doing."
Millie didn't know a frog could look as angry as her mother looked just then.
"We were doing fine until you came and chased all the pollywogs away," Emma said, her froggy eyes bulging even more than usual. Haywood looked confused. "What do pollywogs have to do with..." "Oh, I get it. You think Felix is a pollywog now. That makes sense, because..."
"We can talk about it later," snapped Emma. "Right now, I want you to get those pollywogs back. Go on, round them up and send them back here."
Haywood ducked his head like a little boy who'd just been scolded.
"Sorry," he muttered. "I didn't know. I'll see what I can do."
He swam off, and in less than 2 minutes, a flood of tadpoles surrounded the three frogs.
"How did he do it that fast?" asked Millie as she reached for a tadpole.
"He probably used magic," her mother said, trying to tickle two tadpoles at once.
"Small magic has always been his specialty."
Millie gazed out over the sea of tadpoles that didn't show any sign of leaving.
"He must have sent us every tadpole in the pond."
"Good," said Edric. "Then Felix should be here somewhere." Millie was getting sick of the sight, smell, and feel of tadpoles when her father finally tickled one that chortled with glee. Edric called Emma and Millie over to see the tadpole. They recognized Felix's laugh even before they saw him, and were both grinning when they gave the little creature a froggy hug.
"Now we have to get him to shore without losing him again," said Emma, as they all tried to hold on to the squirmy tadpole. "The problem is, we have to keep him in water until I can change us back. I'm afraid I'll drop him if I try to hold him while I change."
Edric looked around until he noticed a depression in the mud at the edge of the pond. "We can trap him in a puddle," he said. "Millie, come help me. We'll build up the sides so he can't get out."
"Hurry," said Emma, with her arms wrapped around the tadpole. "I won't be able to hold him for long. He's too slippery."
Working as fast as they could, Millie and her father splashed water into the depression, then slapped mud around the edges, building them high enough to keep in even the most determined tadpole. When it was ready, they helped Emma lug the wiggly little creature over the mud wall and dump him into his own private puddle. Millie glanced at her parents and laughed. They were covered in mud, and so was she.
"Step back, everyone," said Emma. "I'm going to turn us back first, and we don't want to step on Felix."
Millie scrambled out of the water, adding another layer of mud to her arms and legs. The three of them moved away from the pond and took hold of one another's hands again. The spell that Emma used was one that Millie had heard before, only this time it applied to her, too.
"Turn us in to that which we long ago were meant to be. Make us human once again, from head to toe and bone to skin."
Once they were human again, they stood beaming at one another for a moment before turning to look at the tadpole they were sure was Felix. Emma knelt down beside the puddle to recite another spell.
"An evil man has turned my babe into a pollywog. Change him back to the boy I love, a human, not a frog."
Millie waited, expecting the air to shimmer or lights to sparkle or something that would show the spell was working. Nothing happened, however, and the tadpole continued to swim in his little puddle.
"What's going on?"
asked Oculura as the witches gathered around.
"Felix was turned into a tadpole, not a fully developed frog," said Emma. "I tried to turn him back, but my spell didn't work."
"Maybe you didn't say it right," said Dyspepsia.
"Mother always says it right, and her spells always work," Millie told her. "Something else is wrong."
"Let me try," said Azuria. Millie stepped aside as one witch after another tried to change the tadpole back. Standing by the pond, she let her mind wander. The pond had felt right, and now the tadpole felt right. That was Felix, she was sure of it. Whatever wasn't right wasn't anything they had done.
It was Olibald. It had to be. Mother, said Millie, didn't you tell me that normally only the witch who cast a spell can undo it?
Emma glanced at her and sighed.
Usually, yes, although I've been able to undo most witches' spells ever since I became a dragon friend. I was hoping that I could do it now as well, but it isn't working. The only one who can undo this spell is Olibald Wizard. We're going to have to find him.